We'll just shoot. Charlie said it's okay. Councilman Charlie, would you give the invocation, please?
Yes, sir. Please bow with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessings that you bestowed on our community, and we pray for your guidance, that our decisions will be for the good of our community. Amen.
Amen.
Please join me in the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Before we begin, I have a short statement I'd like to read. I want to thank you all for joining us tonight. We've set up a very unique seating arrangement tonight in order to respect the call for increased social distancing. We wanted to give council a quick update on how the city of Carlsbad is responding to the threat of coronavirus as well as the state's public health orders. We're deeply committed to continuing to provide the public with essential services, including transit, water, and other utilities. We have posted notices on many of the doors of city facilities encouraging people to call us or email us to resolve their issues. While these doors will be locked, we are checking with anyone who visits us to make sure that we're taking care of them. Yesterday, the governor issued a stay-at-home order, which included information on what facilities needed to be closed. The state's list, unfortunately, included all parks and the golf course, so we've had to shut those down in order to remain compliant. We're remaining in constant contact with the state to clarify all of the public health orders. Our employees are doing very well. We have a great workforce, and everyone wants to know how they can help. Our administration team has been working around the clock, as have all of our first responders and facility maintenance staff. We've been providing daily updates to the public, even through the weekend. We appreciate our members of the City Council for working with us during this unprecedented time in American history. And if you have any questions or concerns, please don't hesitate to ask. And I also would like to thank Jessica Onjuras, the publisher of the Current Argus, for all the help that she's given us the last couple of weeks. We really appreciate that. If there's no questions or concerns right now, we'll move to number one, approval of the agenda.
So moved.
We have a motion.
Second.
And a second. No further discussion. Call for the vote.
Mr. Shirley. Ms. Waters.
Yes.
Mr. Waltershide.
Yes.
Mr. Chavez.
Yes.
Mr. Carter.
Yes.
Mr. Estrada.
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez.
Yes.
Number two, routine and regular business. All matters under this heading are considered routine by the City Council and will be acted upon in one motion. There will be no separate discussion of these items. If discussion is desired on a particular item, upon request, that item may be removed from the routine and regular business and be considered separately. And I would like to ask Ken Britt to briefly go over D1.
Mayor and members of the council, this is a grant from the FAA to start the design process of reconstruction of one of our runways at the airport, 14R32L. And so this is the first step in getting that project completed, and the city's part of it's like $3,052, the state's the same, and the federal government is footing the bill for the rest, which is up to $90,000. So it seems like a good deal for us.
Questions or comments from the council? Thank you, Mr. Britt.
Thank you.
Any other comments or on the routine and regular business?
Yeah, I'll move for approval.
We have a motion to approve.
Second.
And a second. If no further discussion, call for the vote.
Mr. Shirley?
Yes.
Ms. Waters?
Yes.
Mr. Waltershide?
Yes.
Mr. Chavez?
Yes.
Mr. Carter?
Yes.
Mr. Estrada?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
All items under routine and regular business have passed. Number three, consider approval of resolution number 2020-12, a resolution declaring certain city property unusable or obsolete. Mr. Lowe.
Mayor, members of council, the item before you is a house cleaning item, a property that is no longer used by the various city departments. It is recommended that the governing body declare this property usable or obsolete and authorized for the disposition of this by public sale.
Questions or comments from the council?
Make a motion for approval.
We have a motion to approve and a second. No further discussion. Call for the vote.
Mr. Shirley.
Yes.
Ms. Waters?
Yes.
Mr. Walterscheid?
Yes.
Mr. Chavez?
Yes.
Mr. Carter?
Yes.
Mr. Strada?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Number four, consider approval of resolution number 2020-13, a resolution approving contribution from Lee County to Eddie Lee Energy Alliance and approving equalization of Lee County's membership interest percentage. Mr. Lowe.
Mayor, members of the council, the LEA operating agreement requires each member to make equal contributions. Lee County did not make their last required contribution of $25,000. Lee County now wishes to make that contribution and seek approval from the city of Carlsbad to have their percentage of interest in LEA restored back to 25%.
Councilman Shirley, you have any comments, sir?
Yeah. Lee County had gone through some transition on the LEA board, and I think there was just some confusion that happened. I have no problem with restoring their equal interest in the Eddie Lee Energy Alliance. Mm-hmm. I think that's the way to go. So yeah. I would move for approval.
We have a motion.
Second.
And a second. For no further discussion, call for the vote.
Mr. Shirley?
Yes.
Ms. Waters?
Yes.
Mr. Walterscheid?
Yes.
Mr. Chavez?
Yes.
Mr. Carter?
Yes.
Mr. Estrada?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Number five, consider approval of appeal of resolution number 2020-07, a resolution requiring the removal of the buildings and debris at 511 South Alameda. Appellant Priscilla Rodriguez. Ms. Reardon.
Mayor, Council, this property initially came before you at the meeting on February 25th. This is the property that is on Alameda. It's on the west side. It is two properties north of the intersection with Lee. I think the Mount Olive Church is at the intersection, and this is just one north of it. This property contained a number of what appears to be a residential structure, then a number of smaller storage structures. There was also a large amount of debris and trash on the property. Code enforcement had been dealing with this property for over a year. There would be some work done, but the property was not brought into compliance with city requirements. The code enforcement officer, the fire marshal, and the city certified building official all inspected this, and it was a group determination that this should be brought before council for condemnation. In particular, what they were looking at on the structures was lack of maintenance. Although the properties didn't really appear to be heavily occupied, there was some power cords, some extension cords that had been used to actually steal or use power from a neighboring property. But what you had was older structures that had not been maintained. A lot of the weatherproofing had come off the walls. That left the walls exposed to the weather. The roofs were starting to deteriorate, and in some cases were actually beginning to collapse. Council did adopt the resolution at the February 25th meeting. A copy of the resolution was posted on the property, and again, a copy was mailed to the owners as listed in the records of the Eddy County Assessor. Priscilla Rodriguez, who is one of the listed owners, did come to City Council or did come to the City Attorney's Office and asked for an appeal of this matter. She was not able to come to last meeting, which would have been the meeting to have the appeal on, and so instead it was set for this. In front of you is a set of three photos showing some of the work that's been done on the property. If you'll look at the updated photos that are in front of you, not the ones that are on the overhead, you'll see that several of the smaller accessory structures have been removed. A garage is still there, and the main house is still there. The garage really, what we're calling the garage because there's a car parked in it. The garage, again, the roof structure is badly compromised. The walls are compromised. And the same can be said about the house. The house, as you remember, there's significant cracking around the base of the walls, indicating that the walls are becoming essentially, that the foundation is shifting. What you'll also see on the house is that the roof is in very poor shape in some locations, and there are some deep concerns about the condition of it. However, the owner has removed a lot of the debris that's on the property and has removed several of the structures. Ray Benavides, the certified building official, is here, as is Ms. Rodriguez, to address council. Any questions?
Questions for Ms. Reardon?
I have a question for Eileen. Eileen, sorry.
Counselor?
Hey, when did this first come before council? Wasn't it a number of years ago, you said?
No, code enforcement has been working on this property for a number of years, but the first time it was brought to council for condemnation was approximately a month ago.
Okay. All right.
So code enforcement has been, they've been leaving door hangers, they've been talking to the owner, but as far as council action, that was two council meetings ago, so 4 weeks ago.
Mr. Benavides, did you have any comments on this?
Thank you, Mayor, members of the council. It was back in October, I believe, of last year when I first went out to look at the property, and as Ms. Reardon stated, it was in exceedingly poor condition. The accessory structures on the back, as I understand, have been removed. I don't recall seeing an asbestos report or a demolition permit for those, but progress has been made on those structures.
Questions for Mr. Benavides? Thank you.
Thank you.
Comments or questions from the council?
Your Honor, Ms. Rodriguez is here.
Oh, Ms. Rodriguez. Would you like to make a statement, Ms. Rodriguez?
Know how to go about this whole property. My uncle left it to me, and it's actually brought me a lot of stress. A lot. But I do want to see if I can get it all just knocked down and able to put at least a mobile home on there to get it rented out or something, because I don't live here. I'm from Artesia. So it's hard for me to even keep up with things that are going on at that house. There's a lot of people that they've told me that has been staying there. Homeless people are going there. Like, it's just been in and out, different kinds of people.
Yeah.
There's a vehicle there. I don't know who it belongs to. It's just been parked there for a couple of years now. But I don't know who it belongs to. But I do want to get it kept up, but not with all that house on there. I went inside, and there's no way that it's fixable. I mean, unless you're very wealthy, you know. But I'm not. I mean, I'm a single mom.
Mm-hmm.
I can't afford it. But I do want to see if I can somehow purchase an older mobile home at least, and put it on there. Maybe I can get it rented out or something. Mm-hmm. But I do want to get that all them buildings knocked down. I've started it, but it's expensive. It's hard to get it all down fast at once.
Question for Ms. Rodriguez? Yeah, thank you. Ms. Reardon?
Essentially, the resolution as adopted by council would give her 60 days. It's been about 30 since the resolution was adopted. Under the existing resolution, there would be another 30 days to complete the work. Of course, council can consider the timeline as they can set the timeline as they choose.
Thank you. Counselor?
So if we were to move forward and demolish it, we put a lien on the property, we're not going to foreclose on it, so she'd still have the opportunity to pay the lien off when she had the money.
Right. If we did the work, what would happen is that if the city went forward and did the work, then all reasonable costs to the city for the work would become a lien against the property. We typically don't foreclose immediately. We do try to work something out with the owner, but I do know that our demolition liens have run. Recently, the demolition work has run somewhere between $10,000 and $20,000 per property based on the sort of structure being brought down. I could not really give you an idea of what would be charged for this. There has been a lot of work done by Ms. Rodriguez, but there does remain the two structures.
Councilor?
Mayor, I'd make a motion that we move forward with the demolition. And then once the demolition's done, you'd have the opportunity to pay the lien off and have the property back free and clear. So,
we have a motion?
Second.
And a second. No further discussion. Call for the vote.
Mr. Shirley?
Yes.
Ms. Waters?
Yes.
Mr. Walterscheid?
Yes.
Mr. Chavez?
Yes.
Mr. Carter?
Yes.
Mr. Estrada?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Motion passes. Number six, consider approval of an appeal of the decision by the Planning and Zoning Commission to deny a variance request to reduce the minimum requirement of 3 acres for a mobile home park for an approximately 1.85 acre property located at 214 North 5th Street, zoned R1 Residential, 1 District of Pilat Jin Fing Ye. Mr. Patterson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, council members. As stated, this is an appeal by the decision of the Planning and Zoning Commission to deny a variance request to place a mobile home on the property addressed as 214 North 5th Street. That property is approximately 1.85 acres in size. Zoning ordinance stipulates that mobile home parks should be placed on properties no less than 3 acres. So the variance was to place the mobile home park on this property. The Planning and Zoning Commission considered this item at the March 2nd, 2020 meeting and voted 4 in favor of denial and 1 absent. So they denied the request. The applicant then sent a letter into my office stating that they wish to appeal that decision to council. As stated in the ordinance, to overturn a decision by the Planning and Zoning Commission, you would need a 2/3 majority of the council to do so. That would be 6 out of the 8 votes. It should be stated that the applicant has also asked for a zoning change on this property that is pending, which the Planning and Zoning Department recommended approval for. So I'll stand for any questions.
Question for Mr. Patterson. Councilor?
So the P&Z recommended denial. What was the Planning Department also recommended denial, but approval for the zone change, which would allow them
right
to build what?
It would just allow them to place multiple dwelling units on the property, just not a mobile home park. Basically, the mobile home park would allow you to place single wides in there. If they were to get the zoning that they want, which is R2 multifamily, they would be able to place multiple double wides or smaller homes, but they couldn't place the single wides.
Jeff, but they're wanting to do single wides, right?
I believe that was the plan, yes.
I got a question there.
Question?
If they do, Planning and Zoning does do that zone change, what is your estimate as to how many double wides they can put on there with the requirements and setbacks?
I would have to do a little bit of calculating. I know I told Ms. Davis, who I think is here, how many units they could have. Do you remember?
Did you say they could put 32? Yeah. There's no way you could put 32.
The calculation would say that you could place 32 dwelling units on the property, but with setbacks, with drive aisles, things of that nature, you couldn't get that many, but that would be their maximum density with R2 zoning.
Another question, Mayor.
Councilor?
Does there have to be a secondary egress out of there, or does it have to just be one primary?
We normally will ask for any development to have at least 2 ingress egress for emergency services purposes.
That only shows 1.
Right. Just the way the property is laid out, I don't think that you could get a secondary anywhere unless you were to go through one of the properties to the east. Other than that, it looks like your only ingress is going to be off 5th Street. Thank you.
Further questions? Thank you, Mr. Patterson. Ms. Davis, did you have a statement?
As you can see up there, those aren't double wides. We tried to fit the double wides in there to see how many we could get. So I'm just here. I'm Donna Davis. I'm here for the owner to speak for him. What would probably be better would be smaller houses, just because there's enough room to just maneuver, not as many as there would be on the double wide, but you could probably get 10, maybe 12 in that particular piece of property. The neighbors were at the meeting, the last meeting, and their concerns was that it would bring the value of the property down, or, but I understand that the city's had to clean it off the last three times because, you know, it's just trashed over there. And one of the ladies said something about they do drugs over there in the corner. So I guess the bottom line is I feel like the value of the property will go up, and at least it's clean and someone's taking care of it.
Mm-hmm. Questions for Ms. Davis?
So the intention is for houses or for mobile homes?
For little houses. I think we'll fit in there little better. Houses. First, we're going to do the double wides, but trying to section them in there because the way the property's laid out, it's going to be too hard to get them in and out. And you can't actually, since you can't sell the pieces of property, it's going to have to be rentals. So they're going to have to move in there and move back out, the double wides, and there's just really not enough room for that. Mm. But the variance, I guess, will be the same in the zoning that they approved at the last meeting, or I don't know if that's a pre-approval or how that works on the zoning from R1 to R2.
So zoning-wise, they'd be able to do that, but what we're talking about is...
It's because it's not the 3 acres, it's the 1 point. It's close to two.
Mayor, I have a question for Jeff.
Mr. Patterson? Another grand entrance.
For the little houses or houses, what variance do they need? Or
well, if the...
R1 or R2?
If they get the R2 zoning, they won't need a variance per se, unless they want to, you know, place them closer together than we allow or something like that. The way we've been handling the tiny homes is something where we involve Ray Benavides, the building official, because those, if I'm not mistaken, Ray, they show up pre-built. So we just have to make sure that they're built to New Mexico code, and then the placement is done correctly. Other utilities are run to them correctly by licensed professionals. So that's how we handle that. And they could put multiple units on the property if the zone change is approved.
But not the variance, right? They don't need a variance change for
that? No, not for that.
So the sticking point's calling it a mobile home park?
Right, which would allow them to place the single wide trailers.
But they don't want single wides, right? Is that possible? What do they want?
Well, I guess at the time of the application, maybe they were thinking that. So that's what we took to planning and zoning.
Okay.
Okay.
We have a question from the back of Mr. Rodriguez.
This one may be for Eileen, but although it's not on the agenda, it seems like the discussion is going towards a change in the nomenclature of the property and what its intended purpose. Would we be allowed to change that since it's already on the agenda?
I can reach out
with you. That's the question of the night.
If council could not at this moment grant a zone change, if that's what they're asking, to change the application from a variance to a zone change would have to go back to P&Z, and then it has to come before council as an ordinance. So that requires a specific publication, etc. However, if that's what they're asking, then the answer is no. What is in front of you at the moment is apparently no longer what they want, which is a variance to operate a mobile home park on an area less than 3 acres. And my understanding is they no longer wish to have the mobile home park.
Okay, we were told that we couldn't put single wides, so that opens up a new can of worms if you can put single wides in there because you have more space in there. So when we went to go to start this, they said we couldn't put the single wide, so we need to do the double wide. So that's why we...
That's still correct. Without actually creating a mobile home park, you cannot put single wides in there.
Okay. So that's really not an issue at all.
Well, you can't do it.
Right.
Unless you were to get the variance to place a mobile home park, which carries other criteria with it as far as how it's laid out and what you have to install.
Right. Which I don't think there's room for that anyway.
Okay.
So that's why I guess we went to the smaller homes. So...
Would it be appropriate for us to table it and allow you to discuss it with your with the owner.
Well, I have discussed it with the owner, and that's what we came up with. And that I had sent Tricia over an email, and I said, okay, is it going to change anything if we switch to, if we're going to put double wide spots on there or the little houses? And she said, no, it's the same. So I guess I don't understand why we're going back through it if it's the same for both.
Councilor Rodriguez has a question.
The concern I have is that we are to decide, we are to make an acceptance or denial of what's before us, and we're talking about something completely different. Right. So my recommendation would be that we deny this and ask that it be brought back before planning and zoning in the proper format so that it can be brought back to us for a proper decision.
Exactly. If that's a motion, I second it.
We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? If not, call for the vote.
Mr. Shirley.
Yes.
Ms. Waters.
Yes.
Mr. Walterscheid.
Yes.
Mr. Chavez.
Yes.
Mr. Carter.
We're voting to uphold P&Z's denial. And yes.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Strada.
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez.
Yes.
Okay, do we have any questions about where we are on this?
I do.
Okay.
I guess where I go from here.
You what?
Eileen, can she ask where do we go from here?
No.
Okay, if what they want is to either put a double wide or what's qualified as a manufactured home or these mini homes on it, then what you may need, what it sounds like you need, is instead a zone change to R2, or are they already R2? They would need a zone change to R2.
It's scheduled to come before council.
P&Z's already.
Okay, so that's already going. So assuming that gets granted, then either what we would commonly call a double wide, which the state calls a manufactured home, or the mini homes, once that zone change has been granted, then you're more dealing with Mr. Benavides and making certain that either the double wides are properly placed or the mobile or the mini homes are properly placed. Okay. And the other big concern being that utilities are properly run, etc. But that would, once the zone change is granted here, assuming it is, then you would be back with dealing with the building department over building issues.
Okay, good deal. And so when is that meeting? I'm sorry.
I think it was scheduled for April 14th.
This council meeting?
Zone change?
If you will call over to the building department tomorrow, they will confirm that for you.
Perfect.
Okay. Thank you.
Good. The question still remains, it's not 3 acres, right? There's no 3 acres.
Okay, but the 3 acres is required if this were a mobile home park.
Is it not going to be in a mobile home park?
No, a mobile home park is specifically for what we would commonly call a single wide mobile home. If it's a manufactured home, stuff that we call a double wide, then it does not necessarily have to be in a mobile home park. A double wide is by state law is placeable any place a stick built home is allowed. So no, with the mini homes, it again comes back to the building department.
What's it going to be called? What are you going to call it?
Like an apartment complex. It just happens to be rental property seems to be the vote for the easiest name.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Reardon. Anyone else? If not, we'll move to number 7, council committee reports. Anyone on the council?
Mayor, the census has basically been put on a 2-week hiatus. We're just in a hovering pattern right now. We haven't done a whole lot. We have our printed media ready to go. We have stuff to put out, but we cannot congregate. We cannot hire or train any census workers for at least another week, a week and a half, and we'll see how long this shelter in place or whatever we want to call it, stay at home order is upheld, and until that passes, we really won't be able to take any action.
We appreciate all the work that you've done on this, and It's just a terrible time for this to happen.
Mayor, can I comment?
Yes.
I did get an email this morning, and I know that Councilman Rodriguez got it as well, that Eddy County had filled out. We have the highest percentage of censuses that have been filled out in the state. So that's really good. It's only 18%, but we're just starting. So so that's a good number.
So, yeah, thank you.
I just wish we could get our message out on broadcast so that we could get more people aware of the need and the reasons to show themselves being in Carlsbad and Eddy County.
Thank you. Anyone else? Is there anyone in the audience that would like to address the council? If not, we'll move to number 8, adjourn, and I would call on Councilor Waters.
Adjourn. I'm so sorry. Yeah, I move that we adjourn.
We have a motion.
Second.
And a second. If no further discussion, call for the vote.
Mr. Shirley?
Yes.
Ms. Waters?
Yes.
Mr. Walterscheid?
Yes.
Mr. Chavez?
Yes.
Mr. Carter?
Yes.
Mr. Estrada?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
We're adjourned.